Welcome to Saturday Night of Moon Tower. How's everyone doing tonight? Fantastic. Welcome to the Pep Talks podcast, the number one rated podcast in the Polynesian Islands, and the number two rated in the micro-Indonesia area. Aren't we thrilled to have them with us tonight, folks? Please welcome Eddie Pepitone.
Thank you, everybody. Wasn't that pre-recorded announcement like inspiring? Like it makes you wanna be part of this corporate culture. And that's what we're gonna hear, you know, in the end of days, which I don't know, the scientists are saying, you know, maybe 20 years we have left tops because of the, you know, acceleration of global climate breakdown. Thank you for coming, by the way. You'll hear a voice like that. Remember, everybody, absolutely no screaming. I don't mind talking about the dark stuff, by the way. And one of my guests, I'm going to introduce him first. He was backstage telling me, let's talk about the dark stuff, you know? And I think it's not talked about enough. Everybody is always talking about, you know, how funny dating is and all that bullshit. I mean, you've seen the shows here. It's everybody's, oh, ha, 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 ha. That ends now. All right, please welcome. This guy is a regular on a great show called... You Better Call Saul. Great comedian, a friend of mine, Joe DeRosa, everybody.
Oh, here?
Right there.
Sorry, buddy.
Joey, welcome. Let's bring out another guest. We'll have a three-way here.
Okay.
This guy brought me out here for a festival. It's a great festival. It happens here. It's called the Altercation Comedy Festival. You should attend that. Great comedian. He has a book out called Killing for a Living. Please welcome J.T. Habersat, everybody. J.T. All right, let's talk about... when you said that backstage, I was glad you said that because my instinct as a comedian is always to be like, you know, oh, we better, you know, keep it light and entertain them. And I want
that's
that.
Your instinct?
don't trust
that.
Your instinct.
This is you being, because I've seen your show. I mean, I'm not breaking your balls, but you're up there going, you know. It's death and destruction.
I'm a real comedian, and I think real comedians are super insecure.
Right.
You know, we're super insecure. We're even though, you know, I've evolved to the point where I can talk about, you know, real bullshit, I still want people to love. And I hear silence now, you know. And I do, I got to tell you, I live in a very noisy area in Hollywood, and I love the silences. And the only time...
What if we didn't talk for the rest of the podcast?
The only time I get real silence is when I am on stage. Really good joke, huh?
That's pretty good.
Of course it was! Of course it was!
I saw... I was talking to Andy Kindler the other day at lunch, and he was talking... We were talking about, like, bad clubs, you know? Like, oh, I don't do well in this place. And he was like, I don't do well in this place. And I go, well, what about... You know, I start naming other clubs. And he goes, I don't do well anywhere.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I've seen it. He doesn't. And it's really funny. It's funny to watch as a comic, isn't it?
To watch comics not do well?
I love that.
Yeah. Sociopath.
It's my favorite.
Do you like... I mean, I love...
It depends if I like the person. If it's somebody I don't like and they're eating shit, then I applaud loudly while everyone else is giving them silence.
No, there's nothing better than seeing your friends.
I think
mom.
So.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's funny to see them struggle in a way where you're like, oh, they're just going to ramp up in their own head. But then you have to listen to it afterwards in the car. when you go to the next gig of like, I hate my life, I hate comedy, let me out in this cornfield.
See, I don't do that. I haven't done a lot of that. What you've done a lot of, which
cornfield
is
cornfield
like,
gigs?
Yeah. Yeah, but traveling.
We don't all live in Hollywood.
I am an elitist, even though I am. I am a big elitist, even though I come off as like, oh, I'm for the working man, you know.
Yeah, and we see your hat. We know.
I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
That is the time in the mafia hat.
Remember the time we were playing the wheat field and the cornfield comics came over and you said, get the fuck out of here, you pieces of shit.
This field is not big enough for the two of us. Corn is such a staple, though.
How did we
in this country?
Took a weird turn.
But yeah, but you know, I have done it a little, but I know you've done it a lot, like doing those road gigs where you're in cars, markets, like yeah, just going
sure, all the time.
Yeah, tell us about your worst fucking, I mean, worst.
I almost got murdered by a born-again Christian Misfits cover band in...
Born-again Christian yeah, what cover band?
Misfits, it's a punk band that sings about horror, that guy Danzig was in it, and we're in Grants Pass, Oregon.
Grants Pass,
yeah, never
Oregon.
Go there, never go there. It's a local economy built on sawdust and meth.
By the way, I can't believe, you know, like, I get scared, like, gigs like... That like you, we're going to Grants
Mountain. Yes, it sounds bad.
Oregon.
It sounds like
and
a cautionary
like,
tale.
Will they go for the anti-Iraq war shit?
Well, here's the weird
you know
part
what
about
I mean?
This particular story. They were all in, they loved the comedy because we went first, and then there was a Misfits cover band afterwards called the Mr. Fits, creativity hotspot. And it's this little 3 mile Stephen King town. And my feature for the tour, who will remain nameless, was asked after our set to go judge, because it was around Halloween, the Halloween costume contest. And he gave out the first prize to what he said was the scariest, most crack addicted Skid Row hooker he's ever seen. And that was the lead singer of the Mr. Fitz girlfriend.
Yeah.
And the lead singer of the Mr. Fitz had just gotten out of prison, which we didn't know. And then he said on mic, unlike the comedians tonight, we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our government.
And our government. Nice. Nice.
And then they tried to murder us. We had to escape.
They did?
Well, they said they're getting away. We were loading a merch to
they're
leave.
They're getting away.
Because we had
they're
settled.
They're getting
said,
away.
That means I'm amazing. Settling up right now. And I was loading merch in the van. They said, they're getting away. And they stopped and they all ran at us. And they were shaking our van and we had to drive away.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's real. That's a real
crazy.
Thing.
Jesus yeah. Christ.
I'm a hero. I'm a survivor.
Wow, that's scary.
They're
man.
Getting
that was
away.
One. That was one story.
That's their getting away.
My
tour.
Feature was so scared and freaked out, he drove us 2 hours in the wrong direction from our gig the next day.
Did he?
Yeah, it sucked.
That's fucking
it sucked.
Terrible.
Do you have anything
that
rivals?
Don't book that guy.
I've definitely been threatened.
you guys have been great. I love this festival. It's so nice.
Yeah, this is a blast.
People are so cool. And that's the kind of gigs I like to do.
There was
you
a
know?
There was a
fun, cool ones.
Fun, cool yeah. gigs.
Yeah, me too.
There was a shithole club in Livonia, Michigan.
Livonia, Michigan.
It was called Trampoline. Joey's. I'm glad it's closed. I spit on it. But I did it. I did a weekend there, and it was run by these, let's say guys, oh Italians. I don't know how else to say it. It was run by these Italians.
I'm an Italian.
Dudes in hats.
Yeah. It's run by these Italian guys who their whole thing was like, we want to, you know, like, we want to have this place littered with beautiful girls. So the whole staff. Were like these 18-year-old blondes. They were.
Yeah, this sounds like a nightmare.
No, well, they were really hot, and it seemed awesome until I was on stage, and crowds are painfully dumb there. And I did, at this club. I mean, not in that city, but I used to have a joke that was called "Fuck Jesus."
Italians didn't go for that one.
Yeah,
weird.
But the point of the joke is, I would say, I go, you give Jesus so much more.
respecting anybody else. You can say fuck Buddha, nobody bats an eye. Fuck right. Muhammad, nobody thinks. You say fuck Jesus,
fuck
people
Muhammad.
Get
it. I don't think you can say that, but God.
I don't know what to go.
Right. I don't think I said Muhammad actually in a joke, but I said Moses. You know, I just rattled off like other whatever.
Right.
And I said nobody bats an eye, but if you say fuck Jesus, you know, people get. Look, I didn't say it was a good bit. Story isn't about the bit. But one guy started coming toward the stage, a big guy, and I go, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "I'm gonna beat the shit out of you, you Antichrist motherfucker."
Whoa.
And then I looked over, and then there was another guy, and the other guy goes, "Me too." And it was two dudes coming at me that were gonna beat me up. And this is when it's bad, when the staff is all 18-year-old blonde women.
Yeah, that's bad.
Because they're not like, you know, what are they going to do?
Did you check to see if Marilyn Manson was standing behind you? Because that could have been an awkward.
but then I don't remember what happened. They backed off and they sat down and then somebody
backed off and sat down.
Yeah. And then somebody wrote a letter and then Joey's goes, we you know, he's a problem act and we can't have him back.
And all he's this a problem act.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's because it's always you. When you're a comic, it's always you. God forbid they blame the pigs they drag into these fucking places to eat their chicken fingers, this fucking scum. Trash that comes in. It's never their fault. It's always, you know, oh, he had one joke at the 46-minute mark and one lady didn't like it. You know, she had one tooth, but, you know, let's not talk about any of that. Anyway.
Well, dental, I mean, you're bringing up dental problems and
I look down on the dentally challenged.
Jesus Christ.
Let's just have a moment to let that settle. Sink, just marinate in that.
Remember the Attell joke? The great Attell joke? He goes, this guy had one tooth, and he wasn't even taking good care of it either.
No, if you have one tooth, you should take really, real. And plus, you don't even, how do you, you can floss easily. I don't like to floss, you know, but I've had shitty teeth. My parents didn't get my teeth fixed when I was younger for some... Well, because they were fucking out of it. They were fucking out of it, you know? Really, my father is a bit of a prick, and he's at the point now... Like, I just turned 60, and he doesn't wire me money anymore. And I called him on it. I'm like, why... Because I'm 60, you don't want wire me money. He goes, you're 60, you should be on your own. I'm like, give me time, man. Give me some fucking time. I still haven't found myself. I want to backpack through Europe, you know? This fucking guy. That was just off the top of my head.
Do you have any hell things?
What?
Have you been threatened? I mean, you do edgy stuff. I mean, there's got to be some people.
Today.
Yeah, there's some. You have to have pissed some people off.
Yeah, probably, but they don't threaten me. You know, I think because of my like New York persona. You know, like that real like, you know, like I get on stage and I'm very like, let me tell you something. Meanwhile, I'm on 200 milligrams of Zoloft. You know, I'm barely fucking holding it together, hoping that everybody loves me.
My friend Patrick Walsh, who I co-host a podcast with.
Oh, here we go.
No. I'm not plugging. He's your biggest fan. He loves you. And I
like him already.
Yeah, that's nice.
And you did the weekly other bi-weekly show I've been doing at the Belly Room, and you did a few jokes that I didn't think he had heard, so I was telling him the jokes the next day laughing.
Yeah.
And I told him one that he looked truly disturbed.
Oh, really?
After the joke.
Which one was it?
Because I go, Pepitone's doing this great thing now where I go, he it's not new, but he's started doing this thing more and more where he gets real quiet and then he yells.
And, it's called modality. And people love modality. You folks will love it. You know, it's the low and then the screaming and then the low. And a lot of people come.
The Pixies of comedy.
Yeah.
The what?
The Pixies of comedy.
Oh, yeah. Nice reference.
The joke was, you go,
yeah.
You go, Because my father used to beat me as a child. And that's why I like rough sex!
Oh, that's right.
And I
wonder if it's true, though.
I was going to say, is that true? It could be. Just a confession.
I did it just like that in the car as I was driving. And I looked up. I looked over and he just went like this. He went, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I like that reaction.
It was great. It was the best reaction I ever saw, ever. Somebody getting pissed off at a comedian.
Yeah.
Patrice O'Neill, when he was alive, obviously.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, I got bad news.
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on, more whiskey.
He did a show at Caroline's. It was the week that the tsunami happened.
You monster.
Okay. It was the week it happened. It was like literally 2 or 3 days after. And he goes on stage at Caroline's. He opens. This is his opening joke. He goes, this shit didn't look that bad to me. Look, if you could just pull your pants up, you'd be fine. Right?
Jesus.
Half the crowd laughs. Half of them are furious. Three people from England stand up, immediately leave. First joke, they walk out of the room. They sit at the bar and drink for 2 hours while he's on stage and wait for him to come out.
Soccer fans.
Yeah. He finally comes out in the lobby after the show. This lady from England is screaming at him. I've never seen anything like it.
Oh, shit.
And he's just fucking, you know, egging it on. And then the security finally grabs her and they're like, miss, you have to go. And he goes, no, this is fun, man. Don't make her leave. Right? And they were dragging, two men were dragging this woman up the stairs.
Where was this?
It was at Caroline's because she didn't want to leave. Oh, like, it wasn't inappropriate, but she just wouldn't leave. And they're like, miss, you have to go. And they're pushing her up the stairs. And as they're pushing her up the stairs, the last thing she does, she points down to him in the lobby and she goes, you're an embarrassment to America. And I was like, wow. That is the greatest compliment you could ever get. For somebody to say, I hate you so much, you embarrassed a fucking country. Like, that to me is amazing. That's, you know what I mean? It's, don't you love that?
I just love a dramatic heckle.
Right.
Like, I love someone who could stand up, and that sounded very much like a movie, Absence of Malice or something. You know, like, just stand up and like, I accuse you of being a tool of corporate wealth or whatever it is.
You want audience people to do that? You're encouraging bad things.
No, not here.
Okay. Don't do that.
Do you feel the flattery of hatred?
Oh, yeah.
As much as laughter. I mean, it's the worst thing to me is indifference. If the audience doesn't care, that's terrible. I'd rather everybody walk out and go, this motherfucker sickens me.
Yeah.
Than sit there and just not laugh.
Sure.
And that to me is a kill. It's still a kill.
Really? I'm not like that. I can see the club owner congratulating. Joey, congratulations. Everybody left. Everybody's pissed. Thank you very much. You really killed it tonight. Looks like nobody's coming tomorrow, which is great. Obviously, they hate you, which is what we're going for here at Ha Ha's Giggles Snickers.
Snickers.
You know what I mean.
No, but I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Have you had that? Where people just walk out of your...
Yeah, I had a woman. I had a guy hit me in the chest with a shot glass one time.
Ooh.
And it bounced off, and then he went, well, right on, and left. Like, I.
Well, right on?
Was tough enough? Yeah, he threw a shot glass at me. I was saying something about how his town was dumb. And he
How his town was dumb?
Yeah, it was a shit town. It was a dumb town. Don't go there.
It was actually
Binghamton, New York.
Binghamton?
Yeah, that place sucks.
Sucks. Sucks. Don't go.
It's terrible.
They have a Twilight Zone museum that also sucks and is very fitting that it's there. Don't go. But this guy threw a shot glass at me, and instead of breaking, like very Roadhouse style, it bounced off. And he was like, well, this guy's obviously made of fucking steel. I'm out. And he just gave me this kind of like wave and a nod. And I'm like, well, somehow I won without saying a word, so that worked out.
Yeah. A lady in Scotland threw a drink at my head.
Really?
As I was saying.
Well, like a bottle or like what?
It was in a plastic cup.
Yeah.
But I was...
It was in a...
Still
was,
sucks, but they not hated as dangerous. Me.
I did this 2 a.m. show at Edinburgh, and I had to headline it, and they hated me so much.
They hated me in Edinburgh at some point,
I've never heard
too.
Anyone say they had a good time there.
It's tough. But
no, I had a good time. I did it 2 years. The Edinburgh... How do you say it?
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
And they didn't like
the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is nuts because you do... Did you do this? 28 shows in 29 nights. You get no opener. It's like an hour. And all you get is, please welcome, in some kind of weird language, like, please welcome...
It's actually, it's in English.
Is that a Scottish
accent? It is in English.
Is that your Scottish accent?
But the sound people are from all over the world. And it's like, please welcome in the paper tune. That's what you get. I'm not
what
kidding.
Is that?
Please welcome, or whatever it is. It's like, please welcome.
The Swedish chef?
Am I the only Eddie, one?
What? Eddie's announcer was in a horrid facial accident. He is severely deformed from the nose down.
Rocky Dennison, everybody.
Mr. Moto, can you please pronounce my name right? Yes, I'm trying to. No, but you just get, there's no opener. It's just like, please welcome Eddie Pepitone. And you do a fucking hour.
Yeah.
And
it's wild.
They love to drink over there, so kind of rowdy.
It's wild. It made me a better comic because
me too.
It kicks the shit out of you.
Kicks the shit out of you.
But this show was a showcase show, and I was last. And before I went on, they go, "You can do as much." The producers go, "Do as much time as you want. We don't care. There's nothing coming in after us. It's 2 o'clock in the morning." So when they hated me, I just started being like, "You motherfuckers! They told me I could do as long as I want. I'm not fucking leaving now." And I just kept going.
That's where
and
you and I
going
differ, sir.
And going.
Me too.
I would have been fucking good night
until somebody threw a glass.
See you in 27 more days. Try again tomorrow.
You know what I realized I didn't like over there was mental illness jokes,
mm-hmm.
and I like to go after the mentally ill.
Wait,
I am kidding about
like
that.
Follow them on stage, like let them go earlier. Just clean up.
That's very well played on
Thank
your
you
part.
Thank you very much. I'm a very good comedian.
No, but I have this joke. It's a kind of a longer bit where I saw it on a New York City bus once, and it was just a guy like looking through a fence, and it said, "Don't face mental illness alone." So I had a idea for a bit, which is, "Don't face mental illness alone." And so they force people who are really fucking mentally ill to face their mental illness like in the middle of Madison Square Garden mm-hmm. at the halftime of a Knicks game. And I would do this bit where I would come out and I'm looking at the crowd and I'm like, I didn't want to be here, but Nike insisted. Hey, anybody else ever catch a fly in a glass jar? And you look at that fly, and at some point you think you are the fly? And it just builds where he gets comfortable. Because people start laughing. He goes, "You're a great crowd. I had a dream last night where my balls were lying on the floor of a castle." Like he really starts to get comfortable about his mental illness. And I did have that dream, by the way. I put my real dream in.
I like how you're separating you from this character. This is like when Seinfeld goes, Jerry on the show was not Jerry in real life. Okay.
But I had a lot of people walk out on me, and they would call me a wanker. And I always found it. I always found the UK slang shit, you know, just
wanker.
Calling, you know, like wanker or tosser. It never meant anything to me.
Well, tosser means like, jerk off.
Oh, well, now I know.
Yeah, like he's a tosser, you know?
No, I know.
Oh, you did?
No,
well, would you set me up to look stupid? No.
What's it like working on everybody? What's the name of the
Everybody
show?
Loves Raymond.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
It's great. Brad Garrett's really nice.
He doesn't get enough work, Brad Garrett. He isn't on enough sitcoms. No. Please Call Saul, right?
Y'all Better Call Saul.
What's it called?
Better Call Saul.
No, it's just Better Call Saul.
Better Call.
I don't think
Saul.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, you called it You All Better Call
Saul. Y'all Better Call Saul, y'all.
I'm just, yeah.
That's the Southern.
I think that's right. I think that is what y'all hear.
It's very nice. I'm not on a ton. I'm, on a couple episodes a season. But a
couple episodes a season?
Yeah.
How many episodes are there?
Per season?
Per season.
More than a couple.
About 10. And I'm usually on one or two.
Oh, yeah.
But it's very nice. They're very nurturing people. They're very lovely. And
Joe, bring Joe something beautiful. Like when you get on the set of a good show and they take really good care of you. It's like, get Joe something beautiful. Like they offer you water. They're like, what can we get you? On really big productions?
Yeah.
I love that. It's like, they sprinkle, if you're a big star especially, they sprinkle pixie dust before you walk. Like, where's the pixie dust that goes in front of Mr. Stiller?
Yeah.
Or whoever it is.
For me, they'll be like, Joe, is there anything you need? And I go, you know what? I could really use some hot tea. And they go, great. If you walk out the door there, two blocks down, there's Starbucks.
See, I've only done trauma films, so...
It's awesome, man.
Yeah, I was in Toxic Avenger 4, so I just got to watch Jeremy try and finger bang the makeup girl.
Are you serious?
That was my Hollywood story.
Are you serious?
I'm dead. Yeah. We were both. I was sitting next to Ron Jeremy for an hour getting our makeup done because I was playing an angry...
He's dead in the eyes. I've met him.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you said in the eyes. I didn't check the news.
Back there.
Well, he's seen a lot of horrific shit, man. We were getting our makeup done, and the Tromette was a bikini gal that also doubled as the makeup person, and he was relentlessly hitting on her, and I'm just sitting here going, this is the best thing in the world. I'm just sitting here for an hour watching Ron Jeremy be a lech, and at one point he said, hey, toots! And I was like, oh, I love my East Coast roots. I haven't heard toots in a long time.
I still do that.
Yeah,
of course. Still old school. Toots.
Yeah.
Hey, toots! Why is this the best finger to masturbate with?
And then this gross, non-pregnant pause just sat. And then he said, because it's mine. I'm Ron Jeremy. Ah! It was fucking amazing. It was the best, creepiest reel.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah, real gross. That's true.
So what else about You Better Call Saul? I hope that's not it. Like, oh, they're very nurturing people. There's got to be some scumbags.
No, there's...
I'm kidding. I know you can't, I know since you're working
on... Did you get to work with McKeon?
I didn't get to work with McKeon, but we talked once at a spaghetti buffet they had for the cast.
Boy, it sounds like a very good show.
Different types of spaghetti, or what is a spaghetti buffet?
It was an on-set dinner because there was like a shooting. It was like an overnight shoot or something.
Right. Just different.
But I met him for 2 seconds, and he was like, "Have I got a day shooting?" And I go, "Yeah." And I go, "I'm just waiting for my ride." And he goes, "What are you doing?" And I go, "I'm in my trailer playing video games." And he goes, "Did you ever hear of Papschmier?" He named some game I never heard of.
What was it called?
I was going to call it Papschmier.
Papschmier? The video
Michael
game.
McKeon plays Papschmier.
He named some video. He named a video game that I never heard of. And I was like, I go, no, why?
Papschmier.
Let's just call it Papschmier.
I'm 100% with you on that.
He goes, did you ever play Papschmier? And I would go, no, why? And he goes, that's the one I was in. And I went, okay.
All right, I have worked.
That was our whole interaction.
That's amazing.
I've worked with McKeon.
This was at the spaghetti
bowl? Nice, though.
He's a super sweetheart.
I think he's brilliant.
Funny motherfucker. And
Spinal Tap forever.
And I worked with him on... Anybody ever see my web series I did with Patton Oswalt's brother Matt Oswalt called Pudding, which is an insane... If you get a chance, go on YouTube and look up P-U-D-D-I-N, Pudding. It's super politically incorrect.
It's a Bill Cosby documentary series.
It's
a different time.
Come on, let's not... Cosby... You know how I feel about Bill Cosby.
I think we love him now.
But we had great guest stars on it, like Robin Williams and McKeon and David Koechner, and just a lot of really, Patton was on it, Dana Gould, Colin Hanks, and McKeon was fucking great. He was just so funny, he was so professional, and I loved him, and it's too bad you didn't get a chance to work with him.
All my scenes so far have been with, most of my scenes so far have been with Jonathan Banks, who's amazing.
I love him.
And I worked with
Jonathan on Community, and he noticed how I make it all about me.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Like, he's like, Joe, shush.
Are you going to start naming people like that that you also worked with in the hopes that they were on Better Call Saul?
Joe, was David Cross ever on?
Because I have a David Cross story.
I got to tell. I'll tell you. This is my one. This is the one story that's really great. I've really had a nice time over there. But the one really cool moment, the coolest moment for me, other than Jonathan Banks really taking me under his wing and making me feel welcome. Which
he did that to me too on Community.
Yeah, it was like. This doesn't feel like a Community right now.
Oh, God, Community was quite a show. I'm sorry, you were saying.
Aside from the one, I had a really amazing moment. The first time I ever shot with Odenkirk and I didn't know him, I got to say, I was like, Bob, I have to, after like the fifth take, I go, Bob, can I tell you something? And I go, I was the biggest Mr. Show fan, like everybody else in the world who wanted to be a comic. And I go, when I started doing comedy, I went to see, I drove from Philly to Washington with my buddy to see Mr. Show Live. And we waited in the cold to meet you and David Cross. And you came out and opened the door to the lobby for us so we wouldn't have to wait in the cold and invited us in. And we got to hang out and have a drink with you, Posehn, and David Cross. And I was 6 months into comedy. And the fact that I'm standing here now doing a scene with you in this show that I've been on a few times is fucking mind-blowing to me. And he was just like, oh, man. And he put his hand up. He goes, high five. That's fucking awesome, man. He goes, way to do it, dude. And I was... It was like one of the most touching moments I've ever had.
Well, now, how funny would it...
Bring up Dan Harmon in Community now. Did Dan Harmon do that with you on Community?
Funny you bring up Dan Harmon.
Only Chevy Chase.
I just did a little guest spot on Rick and Morty. Anyway,
did you go up to Chevy Chase and go, I got to tell you, Chevy, when I was struggling, Memoirs of an Invisible Man meant the world to me. I was the biggest Cops and Robbersons fan.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
No, how funny would it have been if Odenkirk, after you say that whole, you know, beautiful thing.
Through a plant to Odenkirk. Company.
He what?
No, nothing.
Go no, on. where Odenkirk just says, do you know your fucking lines? or something.
Tighten up.
You know, something completely.
That would have been great. I would have thought it was fucking hilarious.
I would have done that as a joke to you. Like after, yeah. Like if you had come up to me and said, Eddie, I've seen you on Community. you know,
but I when I met you, it was a big thing for me.
Was it?
Yeah, because I
you
was a
poor
huge...
fuck. Really?
I
Get
was
the fuck out of here.
I was a huge fan, and I can't emphasize was enough.
Yes.
No, I was a
never
huge...
meet your idols.
I always wanted to meet you because I was like, I feel a kinship with this guy. I feel like we both have this
That's
sort
true.
Of. You know, dark look at things, whatever.
We're East and Coast I'm, guys.
Yeah.
We don't like the West Coast. Me and Joe are in L.A.
They both live there.
I know.
It's the worst.
But we're in L.A. going, doesn't this sun fucking suck? Every day with this shit. It never rains. It never fucking rains. You're like, oh, I guess I have to be happy today. Yeah. I'm serious. Like, the sun out there is like a fucking alcoholic parent. It's like it beats you to, it's like, yeah.
That's my theory on why LA is so fake cheery, is because there's a flashlight on you or spotlight on you at all times, and you have to pretend like you're a good person. Mm. New York is shadowed, and you know, it's like you can hide in the crevices of New York, and you don't have to bullshit as much, you know?
Right. You really don't have to bullshit in Cleveland. I don't even know what that means. I've never spent time in Cleveland.
I did a show in Cleveland at a venue called the Spitfire Saloon, which is closed now. And they had a thing there. Oh, strapping. This is nuts. It was literally like the Blues Brothers. They locked you in a cage. And we went in and we're like, what do you need the cage for? And somebody threw a full tall boy. And we're like, all right, fucking cage it is.
You were behind the cage.
They'd lock you in the cage. You perform behind the cage. And they had a thing there called the Beer Bazooka. And the Beer Bazooka was out of order, and I was very upset because I wanted to see what it did. And somebody had stolen a batter's cage arm and had rigged it up so that it would throw a tall ball of hams at you at like 30 miles an hour.
What would it
tell
you?
I was like, where do I put my quarter in? That's fucking amazing. This is true. And it said out of order. I'm like, well, how can it be? Why is that out of order? They're like, a sorority girl was in here, and she caught a hams to the face, and her dad's a lawyer, so we had to put the... Yeah, so I missed that by 2 weeks. That place is gone now. Google the Spitfire Saloon. That is real. Cleveland.
I don't like those type of gigs.
What's not to like, man? I'm in this for the stories. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's good. I like peppering in road stories like that as we're talking about
Hollywood and
Hollywood and all
community.
That. No, but that really is like I love the guys who are doing stand up and the guys who stop doing stand up and just become big stars. They can go fuck themselves,
right?
You know, because stand up to me, stand up.
No, we have a middle ground.
I'm being serious. Stand up to me is just it is our art form. You know, and it's in front of people, and it's like it's what we do, and like film and TV, I just think is bullshit. I mean, well, I want to do it because it's good money. You know.
Well, here's a question: because you guys both have done a lot of TV, do you ever wish?
I haven't done a ton. He's done way more.
Sure, but you've done.
What's your question?
My question is:
were you ever on Community?
Were you ever on Community? What's my question is. Is there ever a point where you either wish that you could just do stand-up and take away all the TV stuff as far as like the monetary benefits and just being at home and those things that go with it? Or do you say, you know what, I don't miss doing the road as much. I wish I could scale back on comedy and doing stand-up.
No, I guess no to both. All right, so...
Last podcast. We
have sponsors here at Pep Talks, and I want you to read one of these ads, and you to read one, and I'll read the first one. But we have sponsors, so I have to read these ads. They're written by my producer, Matt Rossimoto. And this first one is Face Bags, the good people at Face Bags. And they're pretty cool. They have not paid us yet. I haven't gotten much money. Anyway, so here we go. I have to read this. Pep Talks podcast has a lot of sponsors to choose from. So when we talk about a product or service, you know we have selected only the best. Face bags are ethically sourced. Damn it, my New York. Fuck. Face bags are ethically sourced designer leather handbags with a story to tell. Every animal at Face Bags Farms is named after moderately famous civil rights activists so they can be proud while keeping their egos in check. In the morning, each animal is gently woken by an orphan's tearful hug. The animals spend the day roaming freely around a freshly stocked Forever 21 outlet. They are loved, pampered, and cared for each moment of their lives. And when they couldn't be any happier, they are tied to an iron rail and forced to watch endless hours of supplement ads from InfoWars. As a water knife slow peels the flesh from their screaming faces. And the sweet orphans who hug them every morning in their lives begin sewing wet flesh into luxury handbags. When it comes to fashion, few accessories can make a statement like face bags. Face bags, available at Nordstrom's. You know what's funny about that ad? Is that I'm a vegan. And my producer knows I am, and he writes these horrific ads.
That's
about
great.
Me.
That's pretty good.
That's funny, though, right?
I love it.
And they're a good company.
What's a water knife?
What? Yeah.
What's a water knife?
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, I was wondering that, too. Is it a knife?
A water knife?
Does anybody know?
Anybody know what a water knife
there
is?
There is no... You do... What is it, sir?
It's just water in high pressure, and it works like a knife, and it cuts through.
fuck.
Oh, nice.
Aquaman, everybody. Aquaman. Thank you, Aquaman. By the
way, this is a man with a closet filled with human skins on hangers.
This he knew that so quick. He's like, you know, they can cut steel. No blood on the knife. It's made out of water.
A murder hose, if you will.
You know, if America became devoid of guns, which will never happen, right? But if it did, like if finally
you know,
the guns were taken. No, I know.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if all the guns, I'm working up to a bit. So if all the guns were taken away, and then everybody would have knives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think of that premise? Like, it would be like...
Just water knives, though?
Just water knives.
Just water knives.
No, not just water knives.
I would like a knife society. you know, I think my weapon of choice, I would like to tie scissors to a string, and I could swing it at people. Because then you get a little distance, but it's still not a gun. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to get a little length.
I would like to inform the two gentlemen from L.A. that we now have an open carry sword policy in Texas as of last summer. That's real.
Is that real?
That is fucking real. And I know this because I went to the showing of Conan the Barbarian at the Paramount, and people brought real swords and battle axes because they could.
Wow. Sounds good to me, man.
It's real.
Yeah, I like it.
Your sword life is here.
I like it. It's honest.
That's all right.
It's honest.
Scimitar life.
Yeah. Now we have two more ads, and Joe, I'll have you read this one. This sponsor is, and try to read it well. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I can't read. Is that a problem?
It's Home Pharma, and I'm a big fan of Pharma. I'm 200 milligrams of Zoloft a day. They don't do anything for me. The Zoloft doesn't do anything for me. I just like the taste. Imagine if you just liked how your antidepressants taste, like you just sprinkled in on fucking cereal. With a mortar and pestle. A lot of people have left already. What the fuck?
I think they were just trying to get to another thing.
I know.
Like a happy podcast.
This has been good, right? This is it.
It's been great. Yeah. Can I order another tequila and soda? Is that possible? Thank you. Sorry. Because my Home Pharma isn't doing what I need it to do. I need a higher prescription. All right. Home Pharma is a monthly subscription for your pharmaceuticals that are developed, that are delivered straight to your home or office.
Hold on one second. Could you just fucking read it like you're an announcer who really, you know, you really give a shit? You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
But these are written by Matt Rasamoto. And, you know, come on.
I apologize.
You know, don't be like, oh,
I'm not selling the imaginary product hard enough.
You're an actor.
I thought that I was reading it that way.
We take a fucking vow as actors.
Do you think
to invest ourselves?
Do you think this is the volume that you should be screaming about home pharmaceuticals to mental people? This is for people that are having problems.
Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
It should be calm.
I just wasn't happy about it.
And then I want to talk about the cop thing after this.
What?
Is that okay?
Okay.
Because you're bringing up actors.
Okay.
That'll make sense in a minute. Home Pharma is a monthly subscription service for pharmaceuticals that are delivered straight to your home or office.
This is better.
I'm going to start it again.
No, I just like what you're doing now.
You know they don't do this at auditions when you read the... All right. Home Pharma is a monthly subscription service for pharmaceuticals that are delivered straight to your home or office. Let's face it, prescription medications are expensive, and their labels are mostly a confusing scribble of nonsense, words, and misplaced numbers. Avoid all of that jazz with a subscription to Home Pharma and get a random assortment of unlabeled drugs shipped to you by the pound. No fuss, no muss. Just good old-fashioned drug roulette of expired Chinese experimental pharmaceutical surplus
and overstock from the Iranian dark web. Stick it to those bloated drug companies and enjoy a potpourri of endless possibilities with Home Pharma. Diana Torkey Handle of Butter, Ohio says, this is a testimonial from Diana Torkhandle of Butter, Ohio. She says, I was 80% sure it was an aspirin, but by the time the headache was gone, I had feathers for teeth. Who needs a pill that does that? Why was this made? Larry Fuznubbins of Bookburn, Oklahoma says,
Bookburn, Oklahoma.
I opened my mailbox to see a medium-sized Ziploc bag of loose pills and one turtle foot just in there. What do I do with that turtle foot? Home Pharma. It's way cheaper than insulin and maybe contains insulin. Who knows? So what do you got to lose?
Joe DeRosa. That was a very nice. And you got a reward.
I got my medicine.
You got your medicine. And now if you could, JT, if you could, and this is our last ad, and I want to thank Matt Rasamoto, our producer, and all these companies are really, they've been good to this podcast. They haven't paid shit yet. But this one is the Chatsworth Actors Guild.
Ever since the Chatsworth Actors Guild started advertising with Pep Talks podcast, their business has been booming. Probably from all the money they saved by not paying us. Hard times for us, but good times for the blossoming city of Austin. Chatsworth, California has long been a throbbing member of force behind the entertainment industry, taking hundreds of students fresh off the bus and putting them in front of a hidden camera where they can truly shine. Now that same go-get-em spirit can be found at the CAG Austin Annex in Riverside. To speak with a recruiter, take $50, a headshot, and your valid driver's license to the enrollment office located in the shopping cart shantytown between Tune-Up Masters and the Sonic Drive-Thru near Altorf. It's fucking accurate. Leave your information in the bindle next to the Timothy Oliphant devotional candle altar.
That deserves repeating. Say that line again.
Oh, good. Leave your information in the bindle next to the Timothy Oliphant devotional candle altar and treat yourself to a blue Raz slushy from Sonic. I mean, it's right there and you were going to do it anyway. If selected, you will soon smell the chloroform of success and wake up in the 1997 Ford Aerostar that has launched many faces from obscurity to a where are they now level of celebrity. Join CAG today and see where acting can take you.
Okay.
Now,
can I?
JT.
Yeah, I'd like to say I got the least really funniest quick? One.
JT?
Yeah.
And I mean this in a good way.
Uh-oh.
No, I mean this in a good way. I thought you did a terrible job.
Thanks. And
it bothers me that Eddie didn't cut you off 8 times like he did me. I'm taking it fucking personally. Yeah.
I started drinking before you got here. So didn't know there would be reading involved.
I didn't want to interrupt JT because I did it to you and I played that card, you know, comedically. Yeah. I had played the interrupting card.
It would have been, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's just an explanation. Now, what the fuck did you want to talk about the cop thing? What did you mean by that? Tell the audience.
No, we were talking upstairs about actors who play a thing they hate.
Well,
I'm going to, it's your show, but I'm going to give you a choice of what we could talk about.
Well, we were actually talking about Ice-T.
Yes, yes.
Who started as a hardcore rapper, and I was into him as this hardcore rapper. I don't know, I just found his, like I saw a video where he was rapping, it was like a rap-off, I think they called it.
It's the whitest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I know. I'm very, very white. But anyway, I would watch it and I'd be like, yeah, this guy, he's so... Like, I get off on anti-authoritarianism. And
yeah.
I'm anti-fucking totally. Corporate. I'm like, that's how I, you know, that's how I come. Well, the only time I can orgasm now is that, like when I'm listening to Noam Chomsky or...
or a rap-off.
Or danger makes me come, like
like the only time I can have an orgasm with my wife is when there's a home invasion.
All right, go ahead.
That's what so, is the name of an
name
Ice-T
of an
Ice-T
record?
No invasion. Joke. It's
true.
Fifth album is called Home Invasion.
That's true.
Is that right?
Yeah, dead serious.
All right, so we were talking. So then I said, well, Ice-T then became kind of a fucking. He plays a cop. He used to do all these like kind of badass raps about, you know, cop killers and stuff like that. I mean, not cop killers, but cops killing unarmed people, whatever. And then now he plays a cop on TV, and I thought that was a bit of like, come on, dude, where's your integrity?
Well, I've heard this. I've actually heard this exact argument before about Ice-T, and I never understand it because acting is playing a thing that you're not.
You've heard this argument before?
Absolutely.
So I'm not the only idiot talking about that.
No,
I'm not really.
You're
talking
not an idiot at all. I've heard it.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. But I've heard it before, and it's always confused me because my point is like, you know, it's, and the example I used was I said, you know, you're who you are. We know who you are. Mm-hmm. If you went and played, if I saw you in something playing a staunch right winger, I wouldn't be like, Eddie's fucking sold out. I'm like, he's playing a character. He doesn't have to agree with all of it. That's what
true.
Acting is, you know? But he actually addressed, I saw Ice-T live. About a year ago, and he addressed it.
What did he say?
I swear to God, he brought up SVU on stage, and he goes, if anybody's wondering how I can say I hate cops and still play one for 16 years on TV, here's how. You're just not as fly a motherfucker as I am.
You're just not as fly a motherfucker as I am?
Yeah, that's what he said. And then
I'm going to start using that on my father.
On your dad? Is that what you said?
Yeah, because he's always busting my ass about, you know, how I need his help and, you know, all this shit. And I'm going to be like, look, you're just not as fly a motherfucker as I am. And see how that goes over.
You also told me you had a problem with my banner.
Yeah, bring that up.
I forgot about that. You know, we have banners like different comics. Have, you know, every comic, I guess a bunch of comics at the festival have banners, and Joe's banner is like this. He has his fucking glasses like this, and like he's holding his glasses, and it's so contrived.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. I want to talk about this.
It's just such a contrived, like, posed image of like, oh, look, you know, you have your two hands by your glasses.
Right.
Oh, look, I'm a comedian or right. something. And I was walking down the block and I was having a great day. I was walking down the block having a great day. I just got a call from Rick and Morty. And I'm like, and then I look up at this contrived, like, posed figure. Uh-huh. And I'm like, Joe and me, we relate about, you know, what bullshit. What a bullshit town LA is. And here he is playing the game. Look at that corporate whore.
Right.
Wow. Right.
He's doing the corporate whore thing.
Look, it's tough. It's tough to remain in that grassroots Rick and Morty Comedy Central owned by Viacom, one of the most evil corporations on planet Earth. Zone. It's tough to remain in that zone. I will agree.
Yeah.
I mean, the cover of your In Ruin special, you've got bruises all over your face. That's fake.
It's fake, but look, it's real. In Ruins means In Ruins, my first special on Netflix. It's not on Netflix anymore, but you can find it on Amazon, I think. Or I think at this point it might be on UPS Ground. Anyway, I think it's on Amazon. But I, In Ruins meant America's In Ruins, and I had like, I just looked like I had been, you know, beaten up.
But it's a promo photo for the special.
Right.
Well, that's.
I'm talking about the image you present. My image is like of a battered working class because I represent the working class.
Can I tell you what happened with that picture? That picture originally was me. Doing that.
Yeah, show them what the poster is.
It's this. I'm going like this.
Fuck me, right? For those of you listening to this, just imagine an asshole. Go ahead.
You are such...
I say that with all due respect.
You are such... The originally, when I was taking the picture, I was doing this, but to my penis.
To what?
To my penis.
To your penis?
Yeah. The same and then the Louis C.K. thing broke, and they said, Joe, this is going to be a problem. Can you move your fingers to another part of your body? And quick on my feet, I thought, how about up to my glasses? And they said, that works good enough. And that's what we went with. Now, my penis is still exposed in the photo. You just can't see it. Because I misdirected my glasses.
All right, so in other words, you don't have an answer for that.
It was that picture was taken backstage at UCB. A photographer came up to me after a show I did. She goes, I take pictures for the show. Can I take a picture of you? I go, yeah, sure. And she took the fucking picture. And I was like, that's a fine picture. And then I use it for stuff.
You do use that picture?
It's on a goddamn 8-foot banner on fucking Congress. I use it. But I mean,
did you see Joe's picture?
I had seen it before. I didn't see the banner.
No, I mean
seen
the banner. You didn't see the banner?
I didn't see the banner, but I've seen his. I knew that that was his press photo. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Now tell me what it's like. But here's the thing. Because I feel like I could learn from you to get back to like where I started. Like where, tell me what it's like to work in a real raw, like arty, like real true artist environment like NBC and Community. Tell me what it's like to be like just on a real visceral, because they shoot Community like Cassavetti style, right? They put the lights up, they go walk wherever the fuck you want, riff
so
it.
Are you saying that I, you know, and, you know, most of my life has just been spent doing that kind of, you know, raw, you know, shit where, you know, I did a lot of independent films where you show up and there's dead body, you know, like the filmmaker has just killed his family, you know, to get the funding for the film.
Trauma.
Filmmakers do that. Trauma. Like they'll do anything like, hi, Eddie, I'm sorry I'm covered in blood. Your scene, it's going to go great. We have a tuna fish sandwich for you. That's your payment. You have a tuna fish sandwich. Right. You can eat that after 12 hours of filming. Is that what you want me to be doing?
No. I think that we're all...
NBC is a very gritty little organization. No.
I'm just making a joke that I feel like when we step into this world, you know, the only person... Gigi Allen didn't play the game. You know what I mean? Like, and he was a lunatic that threw shit at people from the
Who
stage.
Is Gigi Allen?
I opened for the Murder Junkies once. Yeah, it's after he was dead. But Gigi Allen. You know Gigi Allen? He was the infamous punk rocker. He fronted this band, the Jabbers, and then the Murder Junkies back in the day. He got naked and would throw his shit around. He was very mentally unhinged.
Yeah, it's like
a movie called Hated.
My point is we all play the game to an extent.
Oh, obviously.
It's just not GG. Yeah.
But I think it's funny that you hate the picture so much because I'll see stuff like that. Honestly, dude, I that's why I want to talk about it. I'm not offended. I love it.
Yeah.
Because I'll get so fucking mad at shit like that. And it'll like Keith Robinson's like that too. Keith Robinson will call me like out of the blue. He's a great comic. Check him out if you haven't seen him. But he'll call me. I'll be like, hello? And I'll be like, you know what, Joe? I'm just sitting here thinking about your dumb fucking face.
That's I'm gonna get friend?
On, I'm gonna get on a plane Christ. And fly out to LA and knock your fucking teeth out. You bug me. So
he sounds like a great comic.
Yeah, good times.
But my point is like those little things. Well, I can relate to that. I think it's funny when you get set off by
little
shit.
Pet peeves and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, are we at an hour, Jen?
Yes,
we are. Okay, folks. Thank you so much for coming out to Pep Talks. I just want to say this. Thanks to Michael O'Neill. We have a website now, and not to brag, I have that kind of technology going for this podcast. Michael went to our website, and he sent us money he would have otherwise spent on that much-needed operation. Thank you, Michael. Some say that I'm just a collection of 1890s era newsies poorly arranged under a sports jersey. Others say that I've been sent back from a utopian future as part of a sacred straight program aimed at millennials. I don't know what that means either. Oh, scared straight. Sorry. Let me read that again. Others say that I've been sent back from a utopian future as part of a scared straight program aimed at millennials. Much funnier. But I think we can all say that this has been the best hour of your lives.
So be sure to rate us on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube, like us on Spotify and SoundCloud. Visit our website, peptalkspodcast.com, and wave to us when you see us on the street. We know you have lots of options when it comes to podcasts, so we truly appreciate it when you take the time to scream your corrections, opinions, and frustrations at ours. But if you want us to scream our opinions and frustrations back at you, here are some options. Leave us a message. We didn't play messages because, we didn't get many calls this week, but it's... And I didn't want to do the tech of like having a setup because the messages play off the thing here, whatever this is called. Your e-pad. This is an e-pad. Leave a message at 424-262-0904. You can email us at fanmail at peptalkspodcast.com and visit peptalkspodcast.com. Thanks to everybody out here in Austin. Thanks to Moon Tower. Thank you, Joe DeRosa, for coming on. How about a hand for Joe? And JT Haversack, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody. You guys were great. Thank you.